Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 6 in the morning on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Thank you for waking up with us. Coming up in the next 3 hours, we will start in the Sunshine State. Chiefs and Jags getting together on Monday Night Football in Jacksonville, improving to 4-1. We'll talk about it. We've got playoff baseball as well. In 20 minutes, LeBron James has a big announcement coming later on today. Actually, at noon, we'll decide what it means, and then we'll bring in D-Day and Double D for some hot takes now that Week 5 in the NFL is in the books. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, it's a Tuesday. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So normally Tuesdays are not my favorite, but Jinx, we have postseason baseball every single day. I feel like this truly is the best time of year.
Yeah, it's awesome. Having sports in the afternoon when you work this shift that we work is amazing. And also, even in the evening, I felt like it was Saturday night last night because everyone knows I'm old and I have soft bones and I go to bed early. But I was in bed and I was cool. I was like, I can't sleep. I tried to make myself sleep. And then I kept going back football. Then I'm watching baseball. And then the Cubs game started late against the Brewers. This feels like a Saturday night and it's a Monday.
It was like the perfect night for the split screen, right? Because you had football on one side and baseball on the other. And even the baseball game, which was one thrilling finish from the Dodgers and Phillies game to they go directly into a 3-run home run by Seiya Suzuki. And Jinx, I don't know if you were up at that very moment, but think about it. You're like, oh, let's see what the Brewers and Cubs are going to do. I've got the Brewers. 3-run home run by Seiya Suzuki in the first inning. What are we doing? So luckily, that one ended up in the right direction for us, but it was not the best way to turn on the Cubs and Brewers game.
Oh, I know, especially if you were like a couple outs late. You're like, are you serious? I just tuned in, guys. Like, I just turned over, but the Brewers, man, responded very quickly. We'll get to that. But first, how about a flawless night of betting here on the show?
Flawless victory.
That's right. Perfection, Chelsea. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, best bet of the night was Patrick Mahomes over his rushing prop. His attempts were set at 4.5. He hit the over at 6. And I was wondering about this one early because I think part of the handicap was this game needed to be close. And the Chiefs took a 14-0 lead. I'm like, oh no, come on, Trevor Lawrence, do something. But luckily this game came down to the final seconds. What a game. And that was a winner for me. Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher for the Chiefs. And I believe Trevor Lawrence was the leading rusher for his team as well. So a quarterback rushing clinic. And as I mentioned, we both were on the Brewers last night on the money line over the Cubs. It was a little interesting in the first inning. The over, I feel like, was a solid play in that one as well. But the Brewers win it 7-3 final score. So a couple of dubs.
Nice job. I went 2-0 as well. I had the Brewers on the money line and took a risk with the Jags plus 3.5. I was nervous because Sammy P was on the Chiefs minus 3.5. I don't like going against him, but got the dub there despite that early slow start from Jacksonville. Dogster had the Dodgers on the money line against the Phillies. Dodgers went 4-3. So for the week, look at this. You and I are both 2-0 and the Dogster is 1-0 here on the Daily Tip. It is on the BetMGM Network and we begin in Jacksonville. What a game this was on Monday Night Football. The Jags topping the Chiefs 31-28. The Jags getting 3.5. They were plus 165 on the money line, and the overheads total set at 45 and a hook. What a wild finish. The Chiefs look early like they're going to run away with things, right? In the second quarter, Trevor Lawrence, that fumble on a 4th-and-1 on the Chiefs' 1-yard line. The Chiefs recover. They drive 93 yards the other way. It's 14-0 Kansas City. But the Jags get back in the game. They're down 28-24, under 30 seconds to play. And then Lawrence delivers one of the derpiest, dorkiest, and most effective plays you'll ever see.
First and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville!
That is ESPN Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call. Even Troy Aikman, that was him going, no way. Like, Lawrence was on the ground. He somehow got up and got in. He throws for 221 yards and a score. Leads the team in rushing, 54 yards, two touchdowns. And the Jags end an eight-game losing streak to the Chiefs, all on Lawrence's 26th birthday. This was a hell of a game and massive for Jacksonville.
Yeah, let's talk about this play for a second, because I have never related to a singular play in the NFL more than this play, because I think we've all been in this moment where, you know, you do something really embarrassing, you fall flat on your face, and you say, hey, I'm going to show some grit and I'm going to get up. Because we've seen this in the NFL where there have been teams who have had improbable comebacks, and maybe it's at the hands of like terrible plays by the other teams, but it just goes to show how resiliency absolutely matters in life, and certainly in the NFL. None of these games are over until the clock strikes zero. And we saw that last night.
When Liam Cohen is saying it was a goofy play to end the game, it's a goofy play to end the game, because this is Mr. Duval. But it was. I mean, Lawrence was on the ground, and the reason why he stumbled in the first place is because his left guard, thank you for that, Dylan, his left guard stepped on his foot. So he goes down, and of course, in the National Football League, if your knee is down but you're not touched, you can get back up. And then somehow he just bloop, 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 derp, 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 into the end zone. And Chris Jones was saying when it was over, the all-world defender for Kansas City, like, that's on us. How do we not get back there and somehow stop him? But full credit to Trevor Lawrence. I wonder if this is a stepping stone game for him. Maybe this is, you know, been said before because he has all that talent. But, man, watching him, he is maddening, because this was kind of a perfect encapsulation of who he is as a player, right? He'll do something, you're like, what is going on here? And then somehow, or the next play, he does something brilliant. You're like, oh, incredible. And I kind of felt like this was how this game was for him. Like, oh, God, Trevor. Oh, my God, Trevor. Like, what a finish. And that's one of those plays that, you know, could have been like the butt fumble. And instead, it turns into a huge win for Jacksonville.
Right. It felt like the full Trevor Lawrence experience, yeah. Right? Within the confines of a single game. Like, there was a play in the first half where he was visibly over the line of scrimmage and he decides to make a forward pass. And you're like, this is somebody they paid $275 million and the marker's right in front of him. So he makes these like boneheaded plays. But again, like, he does deserve credit for staying in the game. And here's the thing. Some of these Kansas City defenders, you can tell they even quit on the play. Like, they thought the play was over, and that's on them. They're going to have to think about that all week long when they hold that L. But from a macro perspective, this was a big win for the Jaguars, for a team that I think a lot of us, not that we considered them soft, but a little bit untrustworthy in these big-time games. Because before this, you know, they didn't really have a signature win. They had a good win, you know, over a good Niner squad that we are now seeing that Mac Jones maybe isn't as terrible as some people are making him out to be. But this was a good signature win for a Jags team that had not been good against the Chiefs. They were 0-5 their last five meetings against Kansas City, and now they've beaten a team that has, you know, some pedigree to it. This was a massive culture-building win for this team.
Yeah, how are we feeling about the Chiefs now? What do we do with the Chiefs? Still very good. Made some crucial mistakes in this game. Patrick Mahomes threw a 99-yard pick six to linebacker Devin Lloyd. That was a huge game-changer, as you can imagine. But the Chiefs now sitting at 2-3. And by the way, I think the Lions come into town on Sunday.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those games where I am not going to write off the Chiefs just yet.
Yeah.
I do think it's surprising that they gave up 31 points, although some of those were not the defense's fault. It was that 99-yard pick six, you know, that added to the total. But still, you know, this is not a Kansas City team that I would still want to face in the postseason. Isn't that what it boils down to? Like, maybe they're not going to be the most dominant team in the regular season, but we already knew that. Like, they have never been a dominant team. in the past few years, but look at last year. They were in the Super Bowl. So it just, it feels like one of those teams that's still like thawing. But yeah, maybe we need to stop believing in them. But I, for one, will not be doing that again. I feel like when the postseason rolls around, if my team were facing them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I would still be very nervous.
Chiefs, Lions on Sunday. The Jags welcome the Seahawks. So let's head up to Philly now. Talk a little baseball. The Dodgers down the Phillies 4-3. Dodgers minus 130 on the money line. Total set at 7.5. The under hits. Scoreless in the seventh. Until the Dodgers start producing runs, it's 3-0 when Shohei steps to the plate.
Ohtani hits it sharply through for a base hit. This is going to bring in another run. Muncy will score. Over to third goes Smith. And the Dodgers are rolling offensively now.
That's right. The Phillies do threaten in the ninth inning to pull within one. And then the Dodgers pull off the old wheel play. So nobody out, runner on second. And then Max Muncy, expecting a bunt, charges the plate. They get a bunt. Maxey fields it. Or Muncy turns, fields it, and then finds Mookie Betts, who is covering at third, to tag out Nick Castellanos, and that was a play suggested by Betts. A huge turning point in this game because Philly had all of the momentum, but I think ultimately when you look back, it won't just be that one play, Chelsea. It will be the Phillies' big bats, Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper just going cold.
Well, I mean, they got hot at the end. I think the play that people are going to be questioning today is, should you have somebody be bunting in that situation? I think maybe you just hit around. Like, obviously, you get guaranteed contact. But the way that the Dodgers play defense, like, you're not going to catch them off guard. So, hindsight is always 20-20. It just felt like too little, too late for the Phillies. Like, you've got to start scoring runs, you know, before the eighth and ninth inning. But, you know, what a defensive clinic from the Dodgers when it mattered the most. Because think about it. The Phillies, I think, had a runner, I think, on second with no outs. They had all the chances in the world to cash in these runs. And instead, the Dodgers just make play after play, even the final one where Freddie Freeman had to keep his foot on the bag despite a terrible throw from, I think, Tommy Edman to end the game. So I think, you know, that's the takeaway for me, is that the Dodgers were big when it mattered on defense. And we have seen how much fundamentals matter, even in the postseason. Like, hell, we look at the NFL. Just hold on to the ball into the end zone. And then for the Dodgers, like early in this game, there was a play where Teoscar Hernandez did not hustle to first base. And, you know, Lizardo bobbled the ball. And Teoscar Hernandez would have been safe at first, but he didn't hustle. But at the end of the game, the fundamentals were sound and the defense was flawless. And that's how the Dodgers won the game.
Well, and at some point, these guys, Schwarber and Turner and Harper, have to hit. Like last night, and actually over the first two games of the series, Harper and Schwarber are combined 1-for-14. Like, you have to have your guys, particularly when a game is this close. Like, your big bats right in the middle of that lineup have to produce. That's the difference oftentimes between winning and losing, and it certainly has been over the past couple of games. Those guys have to show up tomorrow night in Los Angeles for Game 3. Last night in Milwaukee, the Brewers over the Cubs 7-3. Brewers minus 125, total set at 8, the over hits. The Cubs jump all over starter Andy Ashby, scoring 3 runs in the first inning, but the Brewers waste no time in answering right back.
Middle finger on your left hand.
Contreras with a drive to left field, and the Brewers have the lead.
Yes, they do. A call courtesy of TBS. So, Milwaukee, these guys are just never out of it. And just imagining how just draining it is for the Cubs to jump out early. Things are going about as well as they possibly can for you. And then immediately, Brewers come right back and tie it. So Jacob Mizorowski came in for Ashby. Three innings of shutout baseball, strikes out four. Jackson Chourio, 2-for-4, home run. We heard about Vaughn hitting that home run. Wilson Contreras, 2-for-4 with a home run. The Brewers, man, we keep talking about how good Milwaukee is, and they're showing it right now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a lot easier on the pitching staff when you get some run support to the tune of 9 and 7 runs in your first two postseason games. And as for the Cubs, I think we knew this, that their pitching staff had kind of been worn thin a little bit. And Shota Imanaga has just been not sharp to start some of these games. Like, the first inning has really been his bugaboo. So some people were saying, hey, you know, maybe if you're the manager of the Cubs, maybe use him in that spot that we saw in the wild card where he doesn't start the first inning. But again, hindsight is 20/20, and when you give up 7 runs, like, that's just it. You know, you're not going to win a lot of games when you give up 7 runs, especially if you only get one RBI swing of the bat from Seiya Suzuki, who has been scorching hot this postseason, but not enough if you play the Brew Crew.
Yeah, I don't know what's been going on with Shota. It's interesting, too, because that was part of the handicap for this game. We both like the Brewers, and it's that, yeah, he was very good early in the season at times, unhittable, but I don't know if it's arm fatigue or what's going on. I think that's probably part of it, or guys have seen him, they figure him out. But late in the season, he has been a guy that has been completely fadeable. I think it was he'd given up at least 2 runs or more in 7 straight starts. Now that's 8 starts, and the Brewers taking advantage. Now, one game away from winning a postseason series for the first time since 2018. That is when they made the NLCS in Game 3 tomorrow afternoon in Chicago. Coming up next here on the show, LeBron James teases a big announcement. Will he retire? Will he play with every relative in his family? We're going to talk about it. That is next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.